Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry Nixon, and I'm here with Ryan Loudermilk and Daniel Egan, both Windows Phone champs, and we're excited here to be here talking about Windows Phone 8 and some of the things that we love about Windows Phone 8. Guys, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, no problem.
Thanks for having us, Jerry.
You bet. All right, guys, let's start with just who you guys are, just in case nobody knows. It's hard to imagine nobody
knows
who you are,
Daniel. Come on, Jerry. Everybody knows us.
You know, let's just skip that. It's just a waste of time. All right, Daniel, who are you? Seriously.
Okay, my name is Daniel Egan. I am a developer evangelist for Microsoft, focusing on the phone right now. I live in the West Coast.
All right, cool. And who are you, Ryan?
Hey, I am Ryan Loudermilk. I work here at Microsoft as a DE, similar to Jerry and Daniel. I also am the host of the Windows Developer Show. And once again, I want to thank you for having me on this wonderfully fine show.
Oh. Excellent. Yeah, well, it's nice to have smart people. We've had Daniel on, but we're always trying to raise the bar. So,
until they invited you because they wanted smart people on here. So,
yeah, that's right.
I set the standard low, so it gives you guys an opportunity to shine. It's perfect. Yeah. Okay, guys, Windows Phone 8, you guys have one?
Absolutely.
I do. I have a Lumia 920. I'm very happy with it.
Nice. What are you carrying, Daniel?
Actually, I have the developer device right now that I'm playing with. It's the 820 that hopefully I'll have four developers at some point, but I just got a couple right now.
Developer, that's such a way of bragging. You know, oh, I'm sorry, it's only prototype hardware that nobody has but me. That's nice.
You like that?
It's a bit of a humble brag, and thank you for calling them on it.
All right, so let's get to it, right? So I want to talk about some of the things in Windows Phone 8 that are new. Now, first, just help me out. Is it Windows Phone 8 or Windows 8 Phone?
Whichever you prefer.
What?
It's Windows Phone.
I call it Windows Phone 8, but...
Yeah. I've seen actual vendors calling it Windows 8 Phone. It's just endlessly confusing. But the way we handle names at Microsoft, you never know.
I've also seen vendors call it Windows Mobile 8, Windows Mobile, Windows 8 Mobile. So, who knows?
WinMo 8.
Whenever they add mobile, it's really confusing. Then it's going back to the day, you know?
Yeah. WinMo Metro Phone 8.
All right, let's go machine gun style. Let's see what you guys like about Windows Phone, the new stuff in 8, and let's kind of bring all of our developers who are watching or listening kind of up to the same level with us. Ryan, I'm going to start with you. Let's just go through what's the first thing that comes to your mind as something you love in Windows Phone 8?
There's a lot, Jerry. I mean, I've got to be honest. I don't think we're going to try to do this justice here in the next 25 minutes as to all the offerings that we've got for developers. And so, you know, off the top of my head, I'm not going to do this in priority, but one of the things I am excited about is the new map control that we've got. I think that's been underreported, as it were, in the sense that we are now giving developers a map control which is driven and powered by Nokia Maps. And I don't think a lot of people realize that Nokia Maps has four times the amount of map data that Google does. And so when you think about that as a developer and you're putting that map control into your app, you know that you more than likely have the best map control on the market.
And if I'm a developer and I'm using the Bing map control, I'm now going to be using a new control in my application.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I'll actually add to that, because one of the things in the U.S. is we're so U.S.-centric when we're developing our apps. But if you really want to make money, you want a global app. And that's really where the Nokia maps shine, is globally. They're immense, the map data they have globally.
Yeah. Shoot, I'll add to that. Now we finally have turn-by-turn navigation, right? Not a beep every time you get to the corner. I dig that.
That's right.
Yeah, and actually that leads right in to another feature that I love.
Okay, let's hear it.
Is the app? It's kind of a dual thing. It's the app communication, but it's the protocols. So as a developer, you can put drive to stuff into your app without you having to create anything. And what it'll do is it'll find apps either on your phone or in the marketplace that will do turn by turn directions. So if you have multiple apps on your phone that do turn by turn directions, it'll give you a choice. So if you have one, it will give you that. If you have none, it'll send you to the marketplace. And that's like a couple lines of code to do that.
And you could reach out to another app using file association, right?
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
Oh, and if that file, so it's like dot whatever. And so if dot whatever isn't there, it finds whatever's in the store that uses dot whatever?
Yeah, it'll go to the store. Because you're associating that with your app when you put it in the store. So if it doesn't find it on the device, it'll say, do you want to find this type of app in the store? and it'll give you a list of the ones that do that in the store. You know, driving directions is an easy one, right? But there's a lot of obviously PDF viewer, you know, is another easy one to understand. But this can be utilized, and this is how I'm utilizing my app, for your specific application. So I have a specific URI, specific protocol that I created. Only my app's going to have that. So if they don't have it on the device, it's going to ship them to the store. So you can use it for a bunch of different things.
Just like in Windows 8 development, you can use file and protocol, custom protocol activation, yep. Same sort of thing. It's right there on the phone, and the store goes and finds it if it's missing. That's pretty cool, no doubt about it. All right, Ryan, trump him. What's next?
I would have to say the lock screen. This is still one of those things that we haven't seen developers take advantage of. And by the lock screen, I mean kind of two situations, the ability to finally have the, finally be able to offer an app that allows you to change your lock screen wallpaper. Yeah. This is important stuff, and having a new wallpaper on your lock screen. But another thing that I don't think has been reported as widely as I'd like is the fact that we now are able to, as developers, surface our apps on the notifications, bar or area on that lock screen. So the first example that comes to mind is Rowy. Many people use that. It's a Twitter app available for Windows Phone. I can't wait till they launch their Windows Phone 8 version so I can actually see if I've got any tweets or mentions right there on the lock screen.
That's nice. And the lock screen is great.
That's a good one.
It keeps you from having to go into your phone.
Yeah.
Kind of keeps you out. What were you saying? Let's hear it, Daniel.
No, I mean, that's a huge one. I agree. And I'm sorry. I'm going to add to his, too, because my wife actually has an iPhone for work, and she has the Windows phone, for home and other stuff. And the lock screen, once you get a Windows phone, the lock screen's amazing. She's like, I can't see what's going on my iPhone. I have to go into each individual thing. And the fact that the lock screen shows, all this, everything, what's my next appointment? What's my next mail? Did I get a text? And now, again, custom apps. Did I get a tweet or whatever? It's just amazing.
Yeah. You might say it's glance and go.
Glance and go. A glanceable architecture. Yeah. So, I'm kind of bouncing between two I want to talk about right now. So I'll pick one because I think it's something that only game developers think of, but I think app developers need to think of, and that's in-app purchasing. You can do in-app purchasing right now in Windows Phone 8, and we make it really simple. We have the infrastructure for you. We give you the ability to do payments. You can do payments in a bunch of different ways, including mobile operator billing, and you can do consumable and durable. And most people think, in-app purchasing is for game stuff. I need more lives, or I need to buy a sword, or I need to whatever, right?
You need the gold coin.
Right. Yeah. But it adds an extra dimension. So before you had the advertisements to make money, or you can sell your app. Now you can give your app away for free. You get them to like it. It's like that salesman that, puts the object in your hand. It's much easier to sell them when they have in your hand. So they have an app that they like, and you can give them extra features for 99 cents or $1.99. And that's a really great way to generate money. I mean, if you talk about the top apps, most of the top apps that are making a ton of money are doing it through in-app purchasing. I mean, it's going to be a $4 billion industry. So that's probably one of my bigger ones in Windows Phone 8.
And it works because it's sneaky, right? It gets you in. It's freemium.
I wouldn't call it sneaky. Of your app and then say, hey, I have this other thing you may like, right?
That's right. That's
you
exactly
might want
right.
the white wall tires. It would make that car look nice,
You add a progress bar to every button click, right? You're like, you don't want a progress bar.
Exactly. Jerry,
that's
the
Daniel's sneaky way. Taking stuff away is the sneaky
right.
way.
Yeah, I was going to say, to Daniel's point, we had the mobile director of PopCap Games on the Windows Developer Show a while back, and we got to talking to him kind of offline a little bit and just saying, hey, what are you seeing as mobile trends? I mean, if anybody knows who PopCap Games are, clearly they made Plants vs. Zombies. All of us own it. And he actually said this a year ago. He said, it's clear and evident that in-app purchases is the direction that we're going to move in. We will simply just give away these flagship titles and then offer the ability to buy, buy within the app. He was saying that a year ago that was a trend he was seeing in the movement that people were going in.
Yeah. Mini games to take away the ads, the next level that you want, things like that. Yeah, there's so much. That's totally the game-oriented side, but productivity apps have the same opportunity. Okay, let's see. Ryan, now that was pretty good. In-app purchases, you kind of went on the coattails of in-app purchases, but tell me another feature to dazzle me of Windows Phone 8.
I'm not sure if this is going to dazzle you, but I think Kids Corner, obviously this is more kind of leaning towards the consumer end of things. I mean, developers are not going to be able to take advantage of this per se, but one of the unique things I think, and if you haven't seen Kids Corner, this is obviously instead of sliding up on your phone on the lock screen, you would simply swipe over to the left, and it reveals an area where your kids can play apps that you specify. But one of the interesting things that I've heard from developers and from gamers on how they're using this is they're actually putting their games into Kids Corner and then playing their games inside of Kids Corner to disable the back button or the accidental search button touch. You know, if you've ever had this happen while you're playing a game and you accidentally hit the back button or you accidentally hit the hardware
constantly.
Search button.
I constantly do that. That is awesome.
Yeah, so now this is how people are, somewhat using Kids Corner. Thought that was kind of interesting and perhaps maybe has some developer implications in the sense of how you create your apps, not necessarily having to worry about these accidental touches.
And Kids Corner is a way for parents to say, don't go buy the coins.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because you can disable
those in-app purchasing, yes.
That's important. I mean, it's a good differentiator for the platform as well, I think. All right, honestly, that's my favorite so far. Good job. All right, Daniel, hey, that was my favorite
man.
So far.
You're picking favorites already? So the next thing for me, and I think this is huge, and we'll see what the uptick is of this in the general populace, right? But NFC, being able to transfer stuff by tapping phones and having phones in close proximity is huge. From having stuff on a wall where you can just put your phone next to it to get a cab, the number for a cab, or to get directions to someplace, that's where one way is going. And the other way is obviously sharing data between phones is another real easy, cool, put your phones next to each other, send me some info way. And so NFC is probably one of my favorites. That's why I was going between in-app purchasing and NFC. Those are my two favorites.
Yeah, NFC is real specialized, but I'm kind of waiting for that NFC scavenger hunt, where you can go and prove you've been someplace because you get something. It's a lot like QR codes, isn't it?
Yeah. There's obviously a little more to it. It could be as simple as QR codes, and it can be much more complex.
Right.
It follows the NDEF protocol,
yeah.
Which will allow you to, do across not just obviously our platforms, but other platforms as well, which is really cool.
Very nice. Yeah, very cool. And it'll initiate the Bluetooth pairing for you nice and quickly so you can pass files and stuff. It's really great. All right, NFC, I have to say, it's pretty sweet. And certainly makes me enjoy those commercials that I see on TV. You know the ones? Have you seen that commercial?
I absolutely love
when
that
do
commercial.
We get
every
that?
Time it every time it comes on, you must be alluding to the one where the gentleman gets into the taxi and his girls are waving goodbye and hey daddy we made you a video and then his wife walks up and kind of
heart wrenching.
Yeah, taps the phone to give the video, and then she's a little bit sneaky and says, "Hey, I made a video for you too." And it's funny because I told, and I'm probably giving way too much information at this point, but I even actually told my wife. I said, "This commercial totally reminds me of you. Watch it," and we both just got a giggle out of it. So.
Or it should remind me of you, or I don't know. None of
exactly.
That's the idea. You say you should watch this when not in public, right? Exactly.
That's right.
Okay, so now because of that, NFC is now my favorite. Perfect. All right, Ryan, hit me with another one. Windows Phone 8.
Another one that we haven't even talked about, again, is cloud backup. And most people go, okay, I get it from a consumer standpoint. Finally our app list, our SMSs, our text messages, my photos, my videos, they're all going to be backed up. But one of the things that people also haven't noticed is we allow app developers to register as a backup app, and we've yet to see this happen. I mean, I would love to see Dropbox potentially implement themselves in this nature, and essentially it's an API that you're able to tap into to say, hey, you can shuttle off content from this phone through this app, and it just works. And I've yet to see any app developers take advantage of it quite yet, but again, once again, cloud backup and the fact that we even offer developers to inject themselves into that process is simply beyond me. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, they can become a service for the phone.
Yeah, I think Scott Guthrie would have to agree. He's shaking his head yes.
That's right.
He's very, very happy.
You know, that looks that doesn't even look real. He doesn't wear long sleeve shirts, does he? It's always short sleeves.
Hey, at least it's red, right?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, Daniel, speaking of long sleeve shirts, what's the give me another feature to dazzle me.
I'm going to give you a feature that most developers are going to not think of, and that's the enterprise features,
okay.
Right? The fact that it's already the Windows Phone is already a great business phone, great for productivity, great for getting stuff done, and now we're adding enterprise features. You know, and there's two sides of this. The enterprise is going to be happy that we can have full device encryption and, you know, obviously protect the data that's on there, right? They can also do a company hub, meaning that you can create applications just for your company, so you don't have to go through our store. But to me, and those things are really cool in themselves, but now developers can take that and they can build, you know, those developers that are used to building products for companies instead of for stores and for the general public can now do that. So they build their app and then they can go market it to these companies, and these companies are able to utilize it without having to go through the store and figure that out. So enterprise features is really cool.
Yeah, and I mean, there's more to the enterprise story too. You know, you have the productivity apps of Office, as productive as you can get with your thumbs, I suppose, right?
Yep.
And with full DRM support, I think that's pretty neat. You're right. I think that opens up a whole new market for developers to be able to say, we've got more apps than just, you know, consumer productivity apps and games. It's pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, Ryan, that's pretty sweet. Now, we just made millions of dollars. Can you beat that one?
I probably can't. I'd say last week on the Windows Developer Show, we had a listener write in and tell us about his new app that he made using, again, a new feature that we offer in Windows Phone 8, and that's basically voice commands. The fact that you can drive apps now with your voice, and we handle all the heavy lifting for you in the cloud. And the app that this gentleman created was called Navigation Shortcuts, and it's completely simple, which usually all the best app ideas are, right? And what he does here is I can open up Navigation Shortcuts and I can create a pinnable location. And the reason why he made this is that, unfortunately, if you pin a location with Nokia Drive or Nokia Maps right now, the icon on the home page of the start screen is the same. So you can't differentiate between, is this home or is this something else? And so what he allows you to do is you get into the app, you put an address in using the map control, and then you can subsequently go ahead and change the icon, change the tile, and resize it. And then if I'm on my home screen and I hold down the Windows button, the Windows hardware button, I can actually say navigate home, and it will go ahead and launch the Nokia Drive app, you know, based upon that tile that's pinned, and open up that location and give me turn-by-turn navigation.
That's brilliant. And, I mean, he's not splitting the atom to do it. I think that's the story, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, getting that for free is, again, it's one of these things, I've said it before, is it's like we've got so many amazing features in Windows Phone 8. I mean, you could literally spend 3 or 4 months as a developer just exploring all the different possibilities. I mean, you've been basically given a huge bag of Legos, and it's like, hey, build whatever you want. You know, it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah. Voice capabilities, of course, been in Windows Phone since the beginning, right? And now we're just enabling that and exposing it so users can, or so developers can add it to their apps. Pretty sweet. All right, that's my new favorite. I love text-to-speech. I love speech-to-text. I love being able to do that sort of thing so I can not touch my phone. Good luck, Dan.
So the name of this session is called Fickle Jerry, right?
Yeah, now it is. Yeah, that's exactly right. Everything is going to be my favorite if I'm that careful.
So, yeah, exactly. So, you know, I would probably go next. But this has been a favorite for a long time. It's not just Windows Phone 8. Windows Phone 7 has it. Windows 8 has it as well. That's a start screen. And when I think of the start screen, I think of Live Tiles. And you can't imagine what Live Tiles will do for you until you actually start using the phone. I mean, just like I was talking about earlier with the lock screen, how it showed you a ton of information without even opening your phone. Opening the phone just gives you a wealth of information. And the cool part is it's not just information that, you know, normal phones give you, you know, did they miss a phone call, what text messages, mail, all that. But, you know, custom applications can utilize this to show the user really cool information that they need right there that'll drive them into the app.
Talk about glance and go, man. Tiles really bring it to you, so you don't have to go into all your apps.
Exactly, and they're really simple to do. And you know, I always tell developers, you know, whether I'm talking about Windows 8 or Windows Phone, you know, don't create a dead tile app. Right, a dead tile is just the image, because most likely, if it's not doing something or showing them information, you're either not going to have it on the front screen, or you know, they'll just make it really small where it doesn't actually show them information. So give them something, because you want to give them and entice them to drive them back into your app, because you know, that's how developers are going to make
money. And making the tile small, that's one of the key parts that's new in Windows Phone 8 around tiles, right?
Yeah, you can have all these different things. And it's fantastic. It's funny because I'm playing with it all the time, right, on how I exactly want them. But what it gives you is just so many – gives me anyway so many more – things to have quick access to, you know, just a slight slide and I can pop in, but it still gives me, you know, the information I need. You can see even the tiny tile on Facebook, you know, it's not a ton of information. I don't know if you can actually see that, but it tells me I have one message
live
on there. Right. Yeah. Even that slide. Exactly.
Yeah. In Phone 7, I was constantly rearranging my start screen. Now that there are so many options, what are you doing? Are you find yourself, you find it and you settle in, or are you constantly redoing yours too?
I'm starting to settle in, but I was redoing mine for a while. And another thing the developers wanted is that the wide tile that you couldn't do before. So now you can put a ton of information.
Yeah.
You can see my app that I'm working on, and then you see above that Urban Spoon utilizes that to give me a ton of information of restaurants around me.
Nice.
It's really cool.
Wide tiles used to be restricted, right, only to certain apps.
Oh, well, only to Microsoft.
Only to the great apps, I suppose.
Yes.
Cool. All right, Ryan, what's the next on your list? What's new in Windows Phone 8?
Yeah, I would have to say, and this feature is, I wouldn't say unfortunately long overdue, but the fact that we can do background geolocation, the fact that we can now track you in a background agent that'll still remain, you know, running under the lock screen. What comes to mind here, if you've ever used it, Glimpse is an app experience that's available on iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. And you know, if you've watched the Windows Developer Show at all or know anything about me, you know that I just recently moved to Texas about 6 months ago when I joined Microsoft. And one of the things that I did is as I drove the 1,500 miles from California to Texas, I actually used Glimpse on my Windows Phone device to show all my friends and family. I think I had about 30 or 40 people watching me live as I drove across the U.S. to Texas.
That's kind of creepy, Ryan. Actually,
it is creepy. You had 30 people, all your friends and family are 30, man. It'd
be like all my family and friends.
And a couple stalkers.
There was a lot of people from the show that actually were commenting and making, like, you're seriously stopping again? You've got the bladder of a 3-year-old. But nonetheless, the fact that we can do that. Now, the one thing I will tell you is on Windows Phone 7 with Glimpse is I did have to kind of leave it open on the lock. It would run behind the lock screen, but I couldn't leave that app, or I couldn't just let it allow it to run in the background.
Can't go check your email or something like that.
Yeah, certainly. So and so I would have to open it up occasionally and kind of, you know, babysit it a bit. But the fact that we've got that now as a full-blown background agent, and it takes into consideration battery and all of that, it's a very good experience, yeah.
Yeah, it's opening the gate to lots of great apps. Daniel, give me another one.
All right, another one. I'm kind of going between – I'll go to the developer deeper one, and that's the Windows 8 kernel. So before, Windows Phone was on Windows CE, and now it's on Windows 8 kernel. So it does a bunch of stuff for you. It, like I mentioned before, it allows you to be able to do the encryption. Obviously, out of the box, it allows you to do, you know, dual core, because you know Windows already does that. So if you're using the kernel, you can do that. But it also allows you to do a certain amount of reuse, right? There's certain APIs that you can target for both Windows 8 and Windows Phone platforms. You know, there's a lot of stuff you can do as you're building a Windows Phone app to build a Windows 8 app as well, and that helps that.
I think outside of Microsoft, a lot of people don't realize that we're on the path to a single kernel. I mean, that's kind of the goal. And if we realize it or not, we'll see. But that's kind of where we're headed. And it's a beautiful thing that we get to see all the advantages come into Windows Phone. All right. I love it. I actually love it. All right. What's your second one, Daniel? What's the next one you're going to go on
between? One. The other one was camera lenses. So, and it's not for the reason you think. So camera lenses are something that's really cool because – to me, if you know, you can think of what a camera lens can do. You bring up a camera, you can apply a filter, you can do whatever you're going to do with images or video. You know, that essentially is a camera lens. But the reason I like the feature is because we do this a ton in the phone. We don't always make you go to an app. We bring apps to you, right? And that's a great one that does that. We do that a lot of different other places, and it allows you to stay in the same place where you're at, where you're working on the phone, and utilize that app that has to do with traveling to a restaurant or modifying a picture or driving somewhere, whatever. We bring that to you. So that's why I love the new camera lenses.
And for the developers listening, a lens app is an app that interacts with the user during the capture experience, right? It's not something that gets in. I mean, it's literally there while you're capturing. It's very, very cool. Ryan, I totally skipped you. I figured you couldn't beat it. What do you have?
Yeah, no, that's all right. That's all right. I think Daniel needs a little help, and giving him two is certainly going to help with that. But this is probably
the Pope is not happy with that comment.
The Pope.
Yes, he is recently joined Twitter. I would have to say my next one would be the screenshot support. I don't know that this is super devy, if that's even a word, but I will tell you, I use it all the time, and the ability to take, again, we've been asked as Microsoft, I think from the very beginning with this phone, to be able to offer the support. So obviously, Apple and iOS have it, and you see it all the time. People will share screenshots from their phone of apps that they're in or various things like that. And obviously, by simply pressing down or pressing the power button and then pressing the Windows phone key, hardware key at the same time, that will render you a screenshot and then put it in your albums, your screenshot album. They're under pictures. And I think, again, for app, developers to be able to take screenshots, certainly that's available. It's also in the emulator, so it's not that big of a deal. But what I do like about this is the ability to share your app experiences. I think that helps the ecosystem. I think we obviously saw the launch of that, and I don't remember the website. I think somebody at Microsoft actually did it, where people can share their home screens. Using this screenshot support. And I think, what that does is it kind of just, fosters the community, and it allows people to obviously show great app experiences that they're currently having. It's another way to market your app, or another way that your users could potentially be marketing their app is by showing screenshots of them.
Yeah, totally. And if you get the high score, the super high score, you don't have to worry about whether or not the leaderboard is going to work or not. You just capture it and put it for eternity.
That's right.
Yeah, nice. I love that too, actually. That was a long time coming. I'm glad it's there. Daniel, do you like screenshots?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I use it all the time. And it's funny. It's one of those features that I think developers ask for more, but they sure were screaming about it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Consumers can use it for some stuff too, but developers wanted, to
seriously,
be able to do the
Daniel,
screenshot.
Seriously, Daniel, who complains
go.
More than developers?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, if it's not users, it's developers.
Yeah.
But we'd love to give them whatever they want. All right, perfect. Daniel, give me another one.
All right, so, we could talk about this all day, right? I think I'm going to end with something more personal, right? And that is Skype. So not only is Skype available on the phone, but you can have voice over IP apps as part of the phone. And the cool part is they're integrated in the phone. So if you're used to getting a call and the picture comes up of the person on the call, you answer it the same way you would normally use a telephone. And that's really cool. Obviously all three of us travel a lot, right? And so I use Skype all the time to see my wife and my baby. It's one thing to talk to him over the phone. It's another thing to see him face-to-face. But a lot of times we're on a convention floor. We're at different places. You can't always pop open the laptop. And having VoIP apps and Skype, on the phone is really cool. So I think that's my ending thing that I like.
You know what? I just read that 5% of babies born last year, girl babies born last year, were named Siri. You just had a baby. Your baby, what? Not. It's. You didn't go that route, right?
I did not go that route.
Your baby's named Windows Phone.
Exactly.
Come here, Windows Phone.
We call WP. It Weepy. We call it Weepy.
Nice. All right. Give me another one here, Ryan. Skype is pretty good. I mean, that's kind of the hard ball, right? But to pull that one out, that's going to be difficult when it's fully integrated like that.
Yeah, he's a new father, so I'm going to let him have this. He needs these little wins. It's important. As a father of four, yes, I just tell him that I had four children, so I'm already kind of ahead of him. But nonetheless, I would say the Bluetooth stack, this is unbelievably powerful, the ability to have a proximity API that I'm able to subsequently fully dive into and be able to harness. We've yet to see anything that comes out of this. I mean, it would be awesome to see games that only allow you to play within proximity. What we need to shift from is just building apps. You know, it's like, yeah, give me another utility app. I mean, I'm not knocking those apps, but what we do need to get to is experiences, things that I have not been able to do or experience ever before. And when I think about the Bluetooth API, I mean, wouldn't it be cool to have some sort of, I don't even know. I'm in the embryonic stages of even thinking about what you could build with the Bluetooth stack, but maybe you get them all together and see how many phones you can pair, or I don't know. I don't know what you could do, but, you know, I would love to see developers take advantage of the Bluetooth API and figure out ways you could do it. If it's, you know, transferring contact information, obviously we can do that with NFC and the integrated experience we have on the phone now, but I just think it's really cool that we give the developers a full Bluetooth API that they're able to harness and play with.
I don't think developers realize that the proximity API is sitting there waiting for them to just use it, and there's so much functionality. I saw at a hackathon that I ran, a developer built a Connect 4 app, you know, where you could play with somebody using the proximity API back to forth.
That
server client, and you know, even when you're disconnected, that's what's beautiful about it, right? You were saying, sure, you'd probably use the cloud, but what if you're on a train, or what if you're in a submarine, Ryan?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's obviously an untapped market.
What is he at, Disneyland again?
What if you're 20,000 leagues under the sea?
Hey, I mean, if you want to niche, I'm a huge fan of niching, and if you want to attack, you know, the areas of consumers that are on them, you know, on submarines and are wanting to serve them, by all means, who's going to knock you off that totem pole?
Yeah,
the ultra niche of the yellow submarines, right?
That's right.
How many submarine guys are picking up their cell phone anyway? You're like, what am I going to do with this device? It's just one giant antenna. You would think it would be awesome. The reception's, I'm sure it's not great. Okay, give me another one, Ryan. Hit me with another one. I love the Bluetooth stack, the whole proximity API.
Yeah, I think, you know, this one's very in its genesis, and that's Wallet, right? And this gets kind of to what Daniel was talking about earlier with NFC, and this is this whole industry NFC payment movement that we're trying to get up off the ground. You know, it's still early. It's tough to tell where this is going to go, but with Wallet, which is an app that's on the phone, we expose that app and allow developers to inject themselves, again, into that process. We're surfacing your apps once again. People are able to find you once again. And you do that in the ability to say, you know, your library could allow you to put your library card inside of that wallet. And you could maybe even subsequently tap your phone, and the NFC would take charge and would say, okay, here are the books that you've just checked out. Or, you know, Blockbuster. I mean, who doesn't go to their local Blockbuster anymore? Nobody. But nonetheless,
I'm even getting tired of Netflix, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. We might go back to brick and mortar. But the fact of the matter is the ability to hold these membership cards, we're going to be able to expose that in a single app. And I think that that's interesting. I also think the discounts and the deals that you're getting inside of that wallet are also very interesting. So, again, this is very early days on this wallet, NFC payment, and all of that. But once again, I love the fact that we're already set, we're already in place, and I look forward to seeing some of the merchant deals that we make here at Microsoft in the future to see how this all pans out.
I saw a concept implementation where the Fandango app, I go and buy a ticket, and it puts it in the wallet for me and lets it sit right there. I mean, that's awesome, right? So I don't have to worry if that link is going to work right when I'm standing in line. It's a cool usage of it for sure.
Love
or your
that.
Boarding
Love
pass.
That.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, there's so many features in Windows Phone 8. Developers have a smorgasbord of things they can do, and really opens up to a whole variety of apps that really they couldn't touch before, and now they're right there at their fingertips, easy to implement. Ryan, if you're a developer today, and you're wanting to find out more information on these things, and you just didn't want to watch the show over and over again, where would you send them to get the best information they can?
Well, I mean, certainly we've done a great job with our portals. I mean, you can type in dev.windows.com, dev.windowsphone.com. Both of those are going to take you to both portals that have all the documentation, a truckload of samples. When I say samples, I mean free code. So simply just copy and paste and rip it. You can use it as much as you'd like, but certainly dev.windows.com, dev.windowsphone.com. And if you're so inclined, you could obviously start watching my show, windowsdevelopershow.com. We meet each week. We've been featured in the New York Times, Gizmodo, and Gadget. It's been a fun ride. And I guess, you know, you could follow me on Twitter, Ryan Loudermilk, if you wanted to.
Yeah. You've got a great show, Ryan. I haven't missed very many episodes. It's really great. Daniel, if we're looking for you, where would we find you online?
Mine's easy, thesociablegeek.com, or on Twitter, at Daniel Egan.
Perfect. Guys, thanks for both of you. I mean, we covered a million things of content all at one time. I think it's great for developers who are wondering what's new. This is a great introduction. We'll have follow-up episodes so we can go into some of these pieces in great depth so they can see some applications on how they might use them and what they might do to incorporate them into their apps. Again, guys, thanks for being on the show. And for you, the watcher, don't miss out on Windows Phone 8. We've released everything. All the APIs are available to you. The devices are in stores now on every carrier. Go get the one you want. Go try it out. Thanks for watching.